Oscar-winning actress Jane Fonda is known to different generations for different reasons. These days, she's famous for her hit Netflix series, Grace and Frankie.
Do you not see me? Do I not exist? You think it's all right to ignore us? Just because she's got gray hair?
She's also known to many for her activism during the Vietnam War.
If there's anything I learned in Vietnam, it's after 4,000 years of struggle against nature and against all kinds of very powerful and professional armies, they will not surrender now. They never have in their past, and they are certainly not going to surrender now. And
Richard, well, today Jane Fonda is out with a new book about her activism on the issue of climate change. It's called What Can I Do? My Path from Climate Despair to Action. And Jane Fonda joins me now. Welcome.
Thank you. It's always good to be on NPR.
Well, and this book begins with your decision back in the fall of 2019 to move to Washington, D.C. temporarily in order to protest climate change. And I want to start by asking you, what made you decide to make that move?
Well, I'd been depressed last year because even though I've made a lot of personal lifestyle type changes, you know, electric car, no more single-use plastics and so forth, I knew that I wasn't doing enough. And I didn't know what to do. When you're a celebrity, you have a platform, you know, and you want to use it responsibly. I didn't know what to do. Most of the people that were protesting in the streets were very young, Greta Thunberg and those others. Then I read Naomi Klein's book called On Fire, A Burning Case for the Green New Deal. And that book, her books always roused me up, but that book made me realize that what I wanted to do was, like Greta, put my body on the line and try to help people who were not young understand the urgency of the climate crisis. We have so little time. I called up Greenpeace. I called up Annie Leonard, who directs Greenpeace USA, and told her what I wanted to do. And then we got on a conference call with Bill McKibben, the co-founder of 360.org, and Naomi Klein herself. And we decided to do it every Friday. If the young climate strikers agreed, every Friday we'd do a rally and then civil disobedience and risk arrest.
Well, and one of the things you say is that when you decided to do this, that you realized you'd have to be flying to Washington and that would actually be a problem in terms of carbon footprint. And you say you had to realize the importance of progress, not perfection. What do you mean by that? Explain that, how you decide that, in fact, you can't be perfect, but you do need to move in that direction.
Right. So you have to say, well, is it more important for me to stay home and not do these actions in Washington to not use an airplane to fly back and forth? Or is it more important to go to D.C. and do it and raise awareness? And for, well, there was 10 days when I was doing a lot of flying. And after long talks with Annie Leonard, we decided that we didn't want perfection to get in the way of good. And so I decided it was more important. The fossil fuel executives are flying all over the world, buying off politicians and trying to convince them to not be against fossil fuels, that's not really the problem. So if, you know, we're at a big disadvantage if they're flying all over and we can't fly to get someplace to raise awareness.
Well, and to raise awareness for what? You talk about the Green New Deal in here, and that's something that probably most of our listeners know what that is. This is a resolution proposed by people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Ed Markey to address climate change and income inequality. They haven't gone anywhere yet in Congress. Republicans have mocked the Green New Deal. Do you think that that's what people should be striving for? Is that what you're striving for?
The very first thing that we need to strive for is to cut our fossil fuel emissions in half by 2030. Now, that is huge. That is a little less than 10 years. The scientists tell us that if we can't do that, we risk going beyond the tipping point where ecosystems begin to unravel beyond our control. There's nothing we can do. Number two, phase out fossil fuels to zero by mid-century, by 2050. We can't do it all at once because our economy still depends to some extent on fossil fuels. And there's a lot of workers that need to be retrained and guaranteed a good union job. you know, it can't just happen. It'll put too many people out of work. And then the Green New Deal. Why the Green New Deal? As you said, it's a resolution. It's not policies. But people are working on fleshing it out with policies as we speak. The Green New Deal is aspirational. It shows us a path forward. It calls for communities that are the most impacted, people of color, low-income communities, indigenous lands, that they be the first to receive the new jobs, the new green, sustainable jobs of the future, the first to be cleaned up. We want to demand that the fossil fuel industry be responsible for cleaning up their mess and so forth. They must not be given indemnity, which they're always demanding. So it's those three are the main demands.
Jane Fonda, you have a long history of activism. You mentioned in this book your protests against the Vietnam War. You were even arrested, not just during these protests, but also back in 1970. How do you compare the work that you're doing now to what you were doing back then?
Well, on a personal level, let me say that when you have a hit series behind your back, it's easier to do activism. Better. So I didn't have that back in 1970, and that does make a difference. I think there's a maturity that has grown within the climate movement, as there has within the movement for Black lives. You know, I worked with the Black Panthers in the early 70s and helping bail political prisoners out and things like that. And it's different. There's a maturity, there's an openness, and there's also the commitment to nonviolence. And all of that has, I think, helped make the protests against white supremacy and for Black lives so very diverse and so very large. And that's wonderful to see. And I think the climate movement has changed in that it's become far more aware of climate justice, environmental justice, and the need to have justice at the forefront of any solutions that we come up with. Because, you know, the crisis that this country faces isn't just a climate crisis. It's an empathy crisis. It's a fairness crisis. It's a democracy crisis. So the solution to all of these have to address those issues as well. And that's what the Green New Deal does.
You mentioned Greta Thunberg, who is 17 years old, and you mentioned that a lot of the people who are involved in the climate change movement are very young. You are 82 years old, although many of our listeners would say you look half your age, and I would agree with that as well. But why is the climate change issue so important for you and your generation?
Well, because I'm scared. I'm also acutely aware of the fact that I'm alive in the last generation that can determine whether there's a future for human beings or not. We're it. The decisions we make will determine millions of lives and a livable future. That's a kind of a wonderful responsibility to have, which means we all have to rise up and join together and ensure that there's a living future. You know, I do have grandchildren. One of them is only a year and 1 month old. But it's not just for them that I'm doing this, because climate change is happening right now. I just got news just before we got on this call that my beloved Big Sur is being threatened with fire, that they're having to evacuate homes all along that coast highway, including Esalen. Esalen is where I made the original call to Annie Leonard and Naomi Klein when I decided to move to Washington, D.C. I have a long history with Big Sur. It's burning, not to mention the Amazon. And then last year, Australia. You know, I love these places. I love these trees, these forests, the oceans. The fact that they support our lives and they're being destroyed, I feel like the skin is being pulled off my body. You know, until I decided to do Fire Drill Fridays, I was having a hard time sleeping. Now I don't have a time, because I know that I'm doing everything that I can do to make a difference. And that's what we all have to do. We have to do everything we can do. And it's different for every person. Not everybody can just pack up and move to D.C. and do these actions every week. I'm fortunate that I can afford to do it. And I was between jobs. But this is it. This will determine whether untold species will survive, including our own.
This book is called What Can I Do? My Path from Climate Despair to Action. If our listeners are wondering what they can do, what would be the first thing that you would say that they
Number
can do?
Number one, vote. Vote, 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 vote. And vote early. Get your ballots early. It's safe to vote by mail, but do it early. Get your ballots early. Mail them early. That's the most important thing, because if you know who gets in there for four more years, it's going to be very difficult.
That is activist and actor Jane Fonda, whose new book is called What Can I Do? My Path from Climate Despair to Action. Jane Fonda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on NPR. Yes.
And if you're wondering when her Netflix series, Grace and Frankie, will be back, Jane Fonda tells us they'll start filming in January.